Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Problem area for many Christians is past sins. The question comes up, how can I shake this regret over past sins? And truly, that can be rough. Because your mind is, you know, a good memory bank. You remember them. Your heart hurts because of the regret. And it seems like whenever you're trying to really get close to the Lord, those thoughts come up and you think, how in the world could the Lord love somebody that's done the things that I have? Lots of Christians are plagued by guilt over sins for which they've already been forgiven. They've committed certain sins, and these sins have a lingering effect on their mind. They have a lingering effect on their body. A lingering effect on their heart, and these regrets seem to never leave. Now, Paul had some really good advice for us in regard to sins of the past. And what we're going to do is look at some scripture today, find some things that Paul said in which you can put your faith that will help you to overcome the shame of your past. You got to remember, those thoughts are going to exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And what you need to do is you need to get the right knowledge of God and understand God as it concerns those past sins. And the first thing that we want to notice is you are no longer what you used to be. I mean, you may think you are, but God knows differently. And we need to believe what God knows. We need to see God's perspective. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Watch it. Did you look at the list? Some of those guys in that list were fornicators. Some of them were idolaters. Some of them were adulterers. Some of them were effeminate. Some of them were abusers of themselves with mankind. Some were thieves. Some were covetous. Some were drunkards. Some were revilers. Some were extortioners. And he said, "And such were some of you. But you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus." You know that name is the name above all other names. That's the name to which every knee bows. That's the name by which that crippled man was healed, that stirred up such a riot in Jerusalem after the apostles had gone to the temple one day to pray. That man jumped up. He was leaping and praising God, caused quite a stir. And they said, "That's in the name of Jesus right there. That's a powerful, powerful name, the name above all names. And by the Spirit of our God," do you realize the Spirit of our God is the Holy Spirit? And he washes and sanctifies and justifies you. Do you know what it means to be justified? The Bible says to be justified means that the Lord has already tried you for the sins of your past. And because of what Jesus Christ did for you on Calvary, he has found you not guilty. You know how he can do that? Because he found his own son guilty. God couldn't justify you if your sin hadn't been paid for, but it's been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ, and God Almighty found you not guilty because the day that Jesus Christ died on the cross, God blamed him for the sin you've committed. God accused him for the sin you've committed. God called him the fornicator. See, the Bible says God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. So Jesus became the thief. He became the covetous. He became the drunkard. He became the reviler. He became the idolater. He became the adulterer. He became the effeminate. And God punished him for being that, so that when you get saved, you get Christ's righteousness, and God looks at you, and he doesn't see what you remember of your past sins. He sees the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sees the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sees his Son. You see, that's what you've got to remember. You are no longer what you used to be. No matter what you have done, you are no longer that type of person. A person who is sanctified is cleaned up. A person who is sanctified is set apart to be used by God. You say, yeah, but I still have the temptations. Maybe so, and maybe worse than you did before. There is a devil, you know. And if he can get you through guilt and through repeating, you know, the merry-go-round of sin that just goes round and round and round in your head, he might even be able to get you to go back to it. Listen, a person who's been justified is a person who's already been tried for his sins and found not guilty. I mean, if you think about it, some of the people that have been greatly used of God had terrible pasts. Do you realize that Paul, you know, was responsible for arresting, imprisoning, and testifying against Christians, breathing out threatenings and slaughterings, the Bible says? Undoubtedly, in all of Paul's ministry, there are people in congregations to whom he was preaching who were affected by the death of somebody that Paul had arrested. Do you realize he had to stand there as a forgiven murderer? You don't see him plagued by the thoughts of his past. Why? He wasn't that anymore. He was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was no longer what he used to be. He was forgiven, and so are you. God's already tried you, and he found you not guilty. And it's very important for you to remember that. So when those thoughts of the past come up, I realize there are regrets. We all have them. But rather than wallow in those, just look up and say, thank you, God, for your long-suffering and forbearance and your forgiveness and your shed blood, that I can be forgiven. And say to your own mind, those thoughts are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God so that Christ can bring them into captivity. And you know, don't get into an argument with the devil. Just say, the Lord rebuke thee, man. That stuff has no place with you. You are no longer what you used to be. You are not that fornicator or that effeminate or that thief. Not now. You're forgiven. And don't go back to it, okay? All right. The second thing, and it's very closely parallel to this, is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Not only are you not what you were, that's looking back, but according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, you are a new creature in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're a new creature. In other words, old things are passed away. Passed away. Do you know what it means to be passed away? Dead. Let's say that you had a friend who was a real pain in the neck, and this person troubled you every turn you had. I mean, you know, they called you, they said bad things about you, they tried to ridicule you, and I mean, they were just a general pest in your life. And driving you up the wall. And it just go on for years, just never leave you alone. And then one day you pick up the newspaper and read it and find out that sucker is dead. And you're like, wow, I am never going to be pestered by that person again. They're dead. Wow. I'm going to have peace. I don't have to put up with this nonsense another minute, another second, not another day of my life. They have passed away. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Do you realize your old man is crucified with Christ? That's right. That person that you were is gone. And if you will yield to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and allow that old man to stay on the cross, likewise reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, he's not going to bother you anymore. That's one part. But listen. You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So the past is completely gone as far as God is concerned, and you are now to get on with your new life in Christ. Now, the trouble is, while God sees your new life, you and your old friends, if they're still around, still remember the past. But you aren't serving yourself. You're not serving your old friends. You are serving God, and God sees a new man. Put off the old man, Ephesians 4:22. Put on the new man, Ephesians 4:24. You're a new creature in Christ. In other words, not only are you not what you used to be, thank the Lord for that, but you are something in Christ that you haven't become familiar with. So watch this. Let's say here you are, you've become a new creature in Christ, but your mind is turned around and focused on the past, and all you can do is have regrets over what you did. You are missing out on everything that is behind you. You need to turn around 180 degrees and face what you are becoming as a new creature in Christ. In other words, you're already a new creature, but you haven't started to grow yet. So you get in the Bible, you get in prayer, you get in fellowship with the Lord, you just start to rejoice about what God is doing in your life, you yield to His righteousness, you yield to His Holy Spirit, you yield to the Word of God, and then you let Him mold you like the potter does clay, and you watch what you become in Christ as a new creature. You first out start out by nourishing yourself in the milk of the Word of God. Desire the sincere milk of the Word of God that you may grow thereby. You start out nourishing in that, and then after a little while you can crawl, and after a while you can walk, and after a long period of time you can run, and you increase in knowledge of God. And the next thing you know, 10 years down the road, you look back and go, my goodness, how did we get to this place? You grew up as a new creature in Christ. You left the old man passed away. So you're no longer what you used to be. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 10. That's how you get over the regret of your past sins. And secondly, you're a new creature in Christ. That new creature in Christ hasn't done those things of the past. He's brand new babe, growing up in Christ. And you know what you need to do? You need to feed him with the Word of God. You need to get him under good Bible preaching and Bible teaching so he can grow. And you need to cause him to be obedient to the Word of God and obedient to the work of the Spirit of God in his life. Amen. You know how you shake the regret over your past sins? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I'll give you another one. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. How do I get over this stuff? Well, do what Paul said. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Brethren, this is Paul talking. I count not myself to have apprehended. Apprehended what? Well, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the context. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Wow. You know what he says? Now, you know how it was with your parents when you were young, and you may still be young, and you may still have parents that say this to you. When your father was talking to you, and y'all having a conversation, and then he reflects on something very important in the conversation, he stops and he says this. He says, son, let me tell you something. This one thing I want you to remember, this one thing I do. He's getting ready to give you a very profound, singular truth that he doesn't want you to forget. Or perhaps your dad sat down with you and he said, now listen, daughter, here's the deal. If you want to know how to deal with that particular situation, let me tell you right here, this one thing. You understand? There is emphasis that is placed on what's coming next because he tells you, you can sort out all the other things. We're not going to have a long list of A through Z. I'm going to give you one thing to do, and this one thing will solve the problem. You know what it is? Forgetting those things which are behind. See, how do I shake the regret over the past? Is forget them. Forget those things which are behind. You say, well, I can't. Yeah, you can. If you quit thinking about them all the time, quit looking back at them all the time, quit meddling with them all the time, and turn around and reach forth unto those things which are before by pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, you know what? After a while, you're going to quit thinking about those things. You're going to start thinking about something else. Let me ask you something. Have you ever had a situation where you were in your office and suddenly, because you may have eaten in a restaurant or seen something on television, an old song comes back to mind that you really don't want to remember? But as you work in your office, as you carry on with your day, as you drive in the car, that thing that you've heard just keeps coming back and going around and around and around in your head. You've done that, haven't you? So have I. And it's really a song you don't want to remember. It's something you just want to get out of your head. But it just keeps coming up, just keeps coming up, keeps coming around, keeps coming around. You know how to make that song go away? Turn on, listen, it's so simple. Turn on some music that you do want to listen to. And you know what will happen? You'll start thinking about the music you've been listening to, and you won't be thinking about that song that was running around in your head. We all do that. Just the other day, I had some song run around in my head I think I must have heard in a restaurant, and I was like, man, I do not want to remember that song. It wouldn't go away, just like the regrets over your past sins won't go away. And I got on my computer, and I went to the Baptist Radio Network radio station, and I got on the Christian music, clicked that thing, and man, I'm telling you, that's some beautiful music there, and pretty soon, I can't even tell you what that song is that was running around in my head. It's gone. You know why that is? Because when you reach forth unto those things which are before and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, listen, your mind starts thinking about the finish line and not about the start. That's what you need to do. Your mind starts thinking about the finish line and not about the start. Look, the devil knows. Once you got saved, he knows there's a high calling of God on your life. And if you hit that calling or hit the mark, you get the prize. And you know something? He doesn't get your soul. So you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to keep you from getting that prize. And you know how he keeps you from getting that prize? He keeps you defeated by wallowing in the regrets of your past. Paul said, forget it. Forget those things that are behind. Listen, if all you can do is think about the starting line, and let's say you stumbled on the start. You know, let's say you have a long, like a cross-country race to run, and you fell down at the start. If while you're running, all you can do is think, man, that was stupid. Man, I shouldn't have fallen down. You know what you're not thinking about? You're not thinking about the finish line, and you're not thinking about all those other runners that are passing you slowly but surely, as you go toward the end. You know what you got to do? You got to say, that wasn't a very good start, but I know there's a finish line down there, and if I run hard and run well, I can get there. And you get that finish line on your mind, pretty soon you're not even thinking about the start. What are you thinking about? The next guy that is in front of you that you are catching and getting ready to beat. Paul had to forget those things that are behind. He had to forget about all that stuff he had done. And it wasn't good. He did. He put it behind him, and he turned around, and he faced God, and he said, we are going forward. I am pressing toward a mark that's out there, not behind me. I'll tell you something else that'll help you with regrets over your past sins. Not only 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, where you are justified, sanctified, and washed, And not only 2 Corinthians 5:17, where you're a new creature now. And not only Philippians 3:13 and 14, where you get to forget the past and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But this, you got to remember where your sins are. Now, we know they're under the blood, but I want to go back to the Old Testament or show you a few references here to some things that God said to Israel about sin. And they really, you know what they do? They give us great picture. They give us great understanding of God's perspective on sin. Psalm 103, verse 12. Here's a good one. Psalm 103, verse 12. Again, this is, listen, I know what your perspective on the sin is, but let's look at God's perspective on the sin, okay? God's perspective right now is the one we really want. And here's what we find in Psalm 103 and verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. All right, if you start heading east, how far do you have to go before you catch west? Well, if you keep heading east, you don't. Because the east is one direction and west is the other direction. If you go west looking for east, you never get there because you just keep going west. And that's what the Lord says here. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. They're not as close to you as you think they are. Once you get God's perspective, you realize they are very, very, very far away. Isaiah 38. We know that our sins were put on Jesus Christ, that he washed them away in his blood. But look at God's perspective on sin. Isaiah 38, verse 17. The Bible says, Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Watch it. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Well, if they're as far as the east is from the west, they're so far away you can't see them. And if they're behind the back of the Lord, I mean, in you understand, God can see everywhere in all times. But in an anthropomorphic characteristic, when he says they're behind thy back, you know what? God's not looking at them. Micah chapter 7. Listen, quit thinking about your perspective on your sin. Get God's perspective on your sin. Micah chapter 7, verse 19. Where does he see them? Micah chapter 7, verse 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Wow. Behind his back in the depths of the sea, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You know what? God has chosen to forget your sins. And you know what he wants you to choose to do? To forget your sins of the past. When Jesus Christ was introduced to Israel, John the Baptist said, Behold the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. Why don't you take it off the table? You know, if you had a great loss in your life and you put a little memento on your desk and every time you saw it, you just fell into a bucket of tears because that little memento reminded you of this thing that you had lost. What do you think would happen to you if you took the memento off your desk and put it somewhere where you couldn't see it? You think you would fall into a bucket of tears every time you passed by? You wouldn't. You know why? Because you wouldn't be thinking. That little thing, that memento, wouldn't bring it back to your mind. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You know what? You have been saved from your sins. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. You've been saved. You're saved. New creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. You're pressing forward now. You're no longer what you used to be. You've really changed. You really have. And your sins, God has chosen to forget. You know what the trouble with all of this really stems from? It stems from thinking about your sins repeatedly and imagining what others would think of you if they knew about your sin. Or you may be plagued with your own thoughts about yourself. now that you know better, that you shouldn't have done what you did. Or imagining what others who do know your past are thinking or saying about you. You see how the thing is? I mean, listen, you just drive yourself crazy with this. Whatever the case, whatever it is that prompts you to, maybe you go back to it because you really have delight. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe you're finding a secret pleasure in going back over all that stuff, and you shudder to think that you shouldn't be thinking about that, but you sort of delight in what happened. Whatever the case, you've got to remember something. Other people, including yourself, are not the judge. God is the judge. It doesn't make any difference what others would think or do think. It doesn't make any difference. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Paul said, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. God's your judge. And we are going to give account of ourselves to God. And we can't change whatever that account is going to be of anything that happened yesterday or the day before. Those things from which we've been justified, we won't face. So the thing to do, you know what the thing to do? The thing to do is to live each new day to the glory of God Almighty. And you can affect the way that today turns out by making, listen, the right choices today that are pleasing to God. For sure, if you continue to overwhelm yourself with grief, with sorrow and regret over the past, you know what you're going to do? Listen. You're only going to make today as bad as yesterday was, if not worse. That's right. You can affect the way today turns out by simply making the right choices today that you know are pleasing to God, and have this be a day that you don't look back on with regret. That's right. Quit going backwards and start going forward, so tomorrow won't be what today was, and today won't be as bad as yesterday. Amen. I pray that what God has shown you in the Scripture today, you will keep meditating on until God shows you that what He said in the Bible is absolutely true. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.